Hey, welcome back to the Kingdom Dynamics podcast. I'm Jonathan here in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm very excited to present to you the kingdom that Jesus preached. I have a question this week, and it is, what is God's plan for society? What is God's plan for society? Now, this is really an easy question because we know from Genesis that God's plan, and throughout the whole of the Bible, God's plan for society is God's plan for man. God's plan for society is that you as a man or a woman, that your heart would be owned by God. God always starts in the heart of man. The Holy Spirit is able to recreate your heart, and only the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees, they knew the Bible, but they didn't know God. They knew the Word, but they didn't know the Word. And He was standing in front of them. And we can be exactly the same. That's why the Holy Spirit, He wants to give you understanding. Proverbs says you need understanding. Proverbs says even if you have discernment, you need to add wisdom to discernment to be able to create strategies for success. Jesus in the parable of the sower said, if you don't gain understanding, gain application. Understanding is the ability to move. Understanding is the ability to act. I might give you information. I might give you a great story is, you know, someone buys a tent and the instructions are no help to them. They have information in their hand. They have all the paperwork, but they cannot implement it. They ask somebody who has experience in implementation and they say, Mom, Dad, you know, Bear Grylls, can you help me erect this tent? I've got the instructions. I've read them. I don't understand them. You see, another person doesn't need the instructions. They just will erect the tent. I have a friend who was, you know, so good at driving cars. And, you know, he just hopped in my car and, you know, he was able to do the most amazing things. You know, like off track, driving backwards through trees that were barely 2 meters apart. And this was many decades ago. But, you know, I thought, well, this is impossible. But to him, he could do it blindfolded. He could do it probably drunk, without sleep, hands tied behind his back. So what am I saying is, the kingdom of God is all about application. Jesus is looking for people who would obey Him. Jesus said in the parable of the sower, He said, the sower is me, Jesus, and I am sowing a very particular type of seed. The seed that I, Jesus, am sowing into men's hearts is the seed of the kingdom. Five syllables. The seed of the kingdom. Seed of the kingdom. And He said, the one who understands the word of the kingdom. Word of the kingdom. He's the one who will bear much fruit. So Jesus Christ is wanting to put in your heart a understanding that would result in implementation. Now the kingdom that He's sowing is an invisible kingdom. It's a kingdom that will never end. His throne, the throne of His kingdom is established on a foundation of righteousness and justice. He's the God of life. He brings abundant life. He is a good Father. He's never causing bad things to happen. So God's plan for society is for you to be saved. God doesn't mind if you want to be a capitalist or a Democrat or a, you know, He's not worried about the systems of men. He can deal with that later. What He's What is God's plan for society? It is for a man to be ruled by God in his own heart. Psalm 51, David says, "Create in me a clean heart." God can take away the heart of stone and put in a man the heart of flesh, that we would want to please him. The power of sin is broken, according to Romans. When we believe in Jesus and submit to him, something powerful happens. The power of sin is broken. We become a slave of righteousness. Sin has no hold over us. You know, death might have a hold in the sense that we don't live forever yet in this body, but the Bible says that death even will be defeated in the end. But right now, sin has been defeated, and death will be defeated. God will crush Satan under our feet. So right now, the power of Satan has been broken. The authority of Satan has been nullified. He has no authority. All the authority is with Jesus and with his delegated authority, his Senate on the earth. Now listen, God's plan for society is for you and I, for every person to have the laws of God written on our hearts. That is the cry of the Father in the Old Testament. He said, "I want to write my law on your hearts." There's a lot of references where God is saying that he wants to do that. In Romans 2 verse 12 to 15 mentions this. So God is wanting you to want to obey him. He doesn't, for example, I can go into a small town where there are no speed limits, there are no parking signs, there are no rules. But the people in that town, they know each other, they love each other. No one speeds because they don't want to hurt other people. On the contrary, you can go to a big city where every millimeter has a sign. You can't park here, you can't park there, you can't cross the road. It's called jaywalking. You have to pick up the poo after your dog. You have to take a lead. Your dog can't be free on running around. It has to be connected to you by a lead. And we put all these rules in place because people don't do the right thing. The law, the Bible says, is for those who disobey God. But if God can write his law on your heart, if you do what you're meant to do by default, that is God's government. Let me tell you, the government of God, it's not in this politician or that politician. It's not in the seven mountains and taking over the media and all this crap, okay? Bollocks. It is in you. God's plan for society is for a man and a woman to have a baby. God's plan for society is a man whose heart is born again, who automatically does what is right because his law is written on their heart, where he doesn't need to lead them by bit and bridle, and the man rules over his wife. That's right, that's also in Genesis. The wife submits to her husband, the children honor their mother and father, and they have long life. If every family was ruled by God in this way, we would not need government. We would not need laws. We would not need prisons. Now you might say, well, this is a fantasy. This is a fairy tale. Hang in there. It doesn't matter. God is not going to change his mind. God has established what he's established. Now, things got so bad in the past that God had to flood the earth. He had to kill everybody. Now, remember, he didn't just kill the people. He killed the animals. He killed the birds. He killed the insects. He actually eradicated all DNA. The world was so corrupt that it actually says that God destroyed all flesh. And if you read it correctly, it says God destroyed all DNA. Which is really interesting because we are in the days of Noah again, where the governments of the world are trying to modify the genetics of everything. I mean, the food is modified, the plants are modified, the weather is modified, the people are indeed modified. Just do a Google search. People, just do this Google search. Humans are hackable animals. You know, the software of our DNA has been, there is actually a created a back door into the software. A back door has been into our software that can be modified, you know, by various means, including things that are remote. So this has already happened. The humans have become property. The humans have become a commodity. Correct. This is correct. And there is an artificial intelligence who is in charge on this earth. But God is above all. His name is above the name of the image. His name is above the name. Now, remember this. God created Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve in his image. So the image of God isn't just a man, and it isn't just a woman. It is a man and a woman who become one. That is the image of God. Yes, you can look at a man and say he's made in the image of God, and a woman, she's made in the image of God. But if you really read the Bible with understanding, if you would dare to ask the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, to give you the kingdom, to expand the kingdom inside of you, to open your eyes, to see the kingdom, that the God of this age, who's blinded the minds of unbelievers, would be bound. That your eyes would be open to see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will be amazed. You'll be stunned to see that there's something that happens when a man and a woman are together in oneness, in unity. When they come together, you know, even together physically, there is an image of God. There is an image of God that is an example of the very unity that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have been experiencing and will experience outside of time. God has created a moment for you and I to experience Him inside of time. That is the most precious gift. You know, what is man that you are mindful of man? The Son of Man, He created this world outside of time, an oasis, and a moment where we would exist inside of time, outside of eternity. We have a moment in time to believe God, because the moment we leave time, we will be back in eternity. And we will take into eternity everything we've said and done. And I'm telling you the most incredible secret. The greatest thing that you will be held accountable for outside of time, when you die, when you stand before God, when your spirit leaves your body, and you know it will, because I'm talking to your spirit man. You know that you will stand before God and He's going to ask you, what did you do with my son? That is the ultimate question. That is the ultimate responsibility. The Bible's very clear. We will be held accountable for everything that we said. But what did we say? Did we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord? Did we believe in the Son inside of time? Did we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or did we eat of the tree of life? Because we have a very short time down here on earth to eat from the tree of life. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you will drink of the cup that I give, you will have water that will spring up out of your belly, that will build up and bubble up to eternal life. Every man, woman, and child from the dawn of time until the moment that he burns the universe up with fire, the 70, 80, 90 years we have, we will be given the opportunity, whether by a preacher or by a dream or a vision, I don't know, but you will be given the opportunity to believe in the Son of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you believe that he is the Son of God, then you will be saved. And when we die, when we exit this time dimension, when we leave these four dimensions of the breadth and the height and the length and the depth of the love of God, and we move into the other six dimensions that are inaccessible to us in this stage, we will be able to take Jesus with us into eternal life. The Holy Spirit can give you wisdom and understanding into these things, but there are multiple dimensions that we cannot see. And some of them are coming quickly, you know, into reality. But God is an invisible God, but he will be made visible. Your body, though perishable, will be raised imperishable. And the government of God is to be ruling in your heart. If you enthrone Jesus Christ in your heart, then you are ruled by God, and then your whole life will come into the divine order of God. Your family and everything around you will come into divine order. This is the promise of Scripture. You might say, oh, but look at society. You know, there are millions of people who don't believe God. There's Buddhists and atheists, and how's God? It doesn't matter. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is you and your family and your household. And then if you can deal with that, then it'll start to spread out to your neighborhood and your city. Don't you worry. The Bible says that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. The Bible says that his word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish the thing for which he sent it. The Bible says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says that the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. The Bible says that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. That means that all flesh he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. So we thank God for what he's promised, and we believe God according to his word. And as the Senate, the true church that believes in Jesus Christ and that obeys Jesus Christ, remember, the word Lord is owner. If you say Jesus Christ is your owner, then will you obey him if he owns you? That's the ultimate question. You have no rights. You have no rights. It really answers all of the Christian counseling questions when you understand the kingdom. Oh, but they treated me badly. You have no rights. Oh, but she didn't call me. You have no rights. No one owes you anything according to God, but you owe them everything, to lay your life down for your friends, to think of others as better than yourself, to pray for others, to lift up and encourage and build up others, and to trust God to make up the difference. When the Father God rules in your heart, you will be just like Jesus Christ, and you hand over the keys to your life, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. So I thank you, Father God, for the kingdom message of Jesus Christ that has been planted today in these people's hearts by your word. We ask you, Father, to water your word by your Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that you bring the church together in unity, that we will be one as you are one, that the church would be a beautiful, brilliant bride, ready to fully receive you as you return to collect us and take us, you know, into the clouds, Father God. I thank you for that revelation that we will be accountable to speak to you, God. We will present to you the blood of Jesus Christ, God. We will present to you the body of Jesus Christ, that we believe, that we receive the body of Jesus Christ, and we drank the blood of Jesus Christ. When we die, when we stand before you, you will be pleased with that offering for our sin. There is no offering for sin other than Jesus. We cannot work our way, please our way, you know, beg our way, but we can receive Jesus. Today, would you receive Jesus? Right now, Christian, would you receive Jesus? Atheist, would you receive Jesus? Agnostic, would you receive Jesus? That's what I'm trying to say, is that is what you will be held accountable for. Did you receive Jesus? And for those who did receive Jesus into your heart, did you allow that seed to bear fruit? Did you allow God to discipline you and disciple you and to prune that tree, that it would grow and become the biggest tree in the garden? I break off religion from around you today. I break off that expectation of man. Remember, the mark of politics and religion is the fear of man. You know, Jesus said to beware of the yeast or the teaching of the Pharisees, to beware of the yeast or the teaching of Herod. That means that the people around you, they're going to be wanting to form you into their image, but God is going to want to be forming you into his image. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And would you just give him some time today? Would you seek first the kingdom? Would you obey him? In Jesus' name. God, I just pray against discouragement where people just feel like it's been too hard or too long or too narrow, Father God. May they see that everything, Lord, I open their spiritual eyes, Father God, to see the kingdom right now. Help them to see that the pain and the persecution and the bombardment is not from you, Lord. And they don't need to live in that place. They don't need to agree with that spirit. They can look to you, Lord God, the author and the perfecter of their faith. They can see that they are made in the image of God, that they're born again, that they're filled with the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is with them, that they're wearing the armor of God, that they have straight paths. You've made their paths straight. You go before them. The Word of God is a light unto their feet, a lamp unto their feet, that your Word is healing to their bones, that they have everything they need. They don't need anyone to teach them, but they have an anointing from the Father that teaches them. And even more, God, I pray for that they have the body of Christ to come around them, to strengthen them, to pray for them, to encourage them, to lay hands on them, to equip them. You can't do this life on your own. You need people around you, but beware. You know, you've got to beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing. You've got to beware of false doctrine. You've got to test the spirits. This is where it's not too hard or too much work. It's just the way it is. Just, you know, submit yourself and give yourself over to the ways of God. Everything is actually provided for you and is so simple. It's so simple. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And we can get into all sorts of teaching and debates and blah, 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 and even, you know, worries and decisions that need to be made. But if you just hand yourself over to God, give yourself over to God. He said, seek first my kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all else will be added to you as well. I mean, what if I told you that this one thing is enough? That you could just consolidate all of your energy, everything into one focus. It's called the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. He said, seek first the kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom. He said every parable was about the kingdom. His message was to repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is what is coming. So you can, you know, simplify your life today and to come back full circle and answer the question, what is God's plan for society? God's plan for society is you. God's plan for society is a man and a woman who are submitted to God, submitted to each other, who are filled with the Spirit, who are obeying God, and they will have godly children. They will run businesses. They will grow. You know, their family and society will come back into the order of God. It's going to happen family by family. Now, I don't know the future, but I'm pretty sure that Jesus is going to come back soon. He is going to come back soon, of course, because he is, and he said he is. And when he comes back, he will destroy every, you know, wicked thing. Don't worry. Society is going to be forced back into the godly order. It's going to be epic. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be forceful. It's going to happen in a moment. So don't worry about the little things that aren't working out. Focus on you and your heart and the kingdom of God, and all else will be added to you as well. Guys, this is not a religious podcast. I am speaking and as an ambassador of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not interested in your religious, you know, theology or thoughts. Your mind will be offended by the truth, because the truth will set you free. You know, if I've offended you, it's because there's a religious spirit. And actually what happens is, when the kingdom comes, when Jesus preached the kingdom, the people who heard the message of the kingdom, they had to change. It wasn't Jesus who changed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Bye for now.